You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, most of us have probably heard of Bitcoin, but we might not all specifically know what it is or how it actually works. A new local company called My Bitcoin Saver aims to change that by providing Kiwis with a platform through which they can easily buy and save their own Bitcoin. Our news director, Shemena Smith, caught up with the company's co-founder, Sam Blackmore, yesterday to chat about what Bitcoin is and the ins and outs of how it actually works.
It's probably easier to understand if we sort of look back very briefly at the sort of history of currency. There's sort of been really three phases to the history of currency. There's sort of been commodity-based currencies, which was sort of gold and silver, and that's where we sort of exchanged real stuff, which everybody understood. Then the phase we're at the moment is fiat-based currency. So that's sort of politically controlled currencies. So there's sort of a central authority that sort of determines the value of the currency by either adjusting the interest rates or, you know, printing more money. And then Bitcoin is a mathematical currency. So the value of the currency is locked into an algorithm, which means that there's only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoins that are ever going to be distributed, and everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. It's going back to sort of being mathematical currency. The idea is that it's globally distributed, so it's geopolitically independent. So there's no central authority which controls it in any way. Mm-hmm. So that's the real, really interesting part of it, is that when you buy Bitcoin, you're buying a global currency.
Right. Okay. And whereas with the fiat currency, that's all controlled by sort of central banks in various countries, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So this kind of overcomes any barriers that might be existent with that?
Yes. It completely overcomes anybody else controlling your money. So there's no banks involved at all. There's no sort of, it seems to be insulated from particular events. So for example, Brexit and Trump, if you were to hedge some of your savings into Bitcoin, then you wouldn't be exposed to something happening, particularly in your country. So we're pretty lucky in New Zealand because we have a pretty, you know, stable economy, but there are lots of parts of the world that aren't as lucky as us, and it's particularly, you know, relevant to those people.
Absolutely. And so kind of on that note, what are some of the other advantages of using Bitcoin over regular currency?
So the other advantages of using Bitcoin is that it's very easy to send overseas. Literally, you can send it like an email. Someone can have a Bitcoin address, which doesn't quite look like an email address, but it works in exactly the same way. So you can have a wallet on your phone or your computer, which you store your Bitcoin, and then you can have a friend or family overseas, and literally you put your address into your wallet, which is pretty much like an old-fashioned email client, and ping, you can send them Bitcoin, it'll arrive like that. Mm-hmm. So, and then you haven't gone through any payment network, so you haven't had to sort of give any of your money to the bank to, you know, perform this transaction for you. So yeah, it's pretty exciting in that respect. Then the other side of things is that sort of going back to the fact that you're sort of controlling your own money. So there's a certain responsibility to it. So, you know, if you is a password associated with your wallet, and if you lose that password, unfortunately, your Bitcoins are gone. Mm-hmm. So
roll up like you can do at the bank and be like, "Ah, oh, I left my wallet at home. I'll show you some
right.
ID.
I lost my FPOS card." Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. So yeah, I suppose there's that sort of trade-off with increased liberty, increased responsibility.
Right.
So that's kind of what you have to understand. But at the same time, it is a revolutionary technology in that it's very liberating in that respect, that people can take control of this stuff for themselves without sort of hoarding gold under your bed or anything like that.
And so what's the kind of current situation with Bitcoin in the world at the moment? Do a pretty small fraction of people use it, or like what's the situation?
Well, Bitcoin, it's a bit of a roller coaster ride in the fact that the sort of governments are finding it very difficult to understand how to regulate it or how it's going to sort of affect their economies. But yeah, it's just growing very rapidly at the moment. It's growing exponentially. So the number of wallets that are being opened is growing exponentially every year, doubling every year. The market cap presently is, like, these are big numbers and they kind of don't really mean much, but it's $20 billion or $20 billion of people invested into Bitcoin. So it's very exciting. It's growing very quickly. You know, in the States these days, you could go out for your daily Saturday and you'd be able to buy, you know, your coffee and, you know, maybe your lunch and sort of generally half the sort of things that you usually spend your money on with Bitcoin. So, you know, it's becoming a lot more usable in that respect. But it's a very exciting time for Bitcoin. We, on the service that we run, My Bitcoin Saver, we have literally grown by 1,000% in the last four months.
Wow.
The amount of people that have been using our service. So it sort of shows the interest that people have in it out there.
Absolutely. Mm. So in terms of what your service does, can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, so the idea with our service is that we want to help people get ahead with their savings. And we understand it's very difficult for people these days, and that sort of housing prices are just crazy, you know. Then if you put your money into a savings account with the interest rates that are you've got at the moment, you're not going to make very much money at all using those traditional techniques. And then there's sort of funds and KiwiSaver, but they're kind of all a bit hocus pocus and, you know, quite complicated. So you know, we believe in Bitcoin, and that's what we were drawn to. Now historically it's returned amazingly, so 150% year to date. So if you were to bought $10 worth of Bitcoin and saved it, it would be worth $25 12 months later.
Wow.
So it was a service that we created actually for ourselves because we wanted to buy small amounts regularly, you know, just sort of saving the background of life, like any other sort of savings scheme. And we just built a bit of software that automates the process for us. And then we put it online and lots of people started using it. So the idea is that we allow people to put small amounts in weekly. They just set up an automatic payment with us, and then they forget about it, and we just send them Bitcoin automatically every week without them having to do anything, because it's quite a complicated process buying Bitcoin. You have to sort of send your money overseas to sort of crazy exchanges in Eastern European countries, and then
so
we do all of that.
And so what can people actually buy with Bitcoin?
You can buy pretty much anything on the internet if you look for it.
Right.
So there is, I think it's purse.io, which is sort of a Bitcoin accepting interface for Amazon. So you can pretty much buy anything on Amazon with Bitcoin and get a discount for using Bitcoin. So if you've got Amazon at your disposal, you can pretty much buy anything. But yeah, there's lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's different couple of different ways of seeing Bitcoin. You know, you can see it as a currency, or you can sort of see it as a savings platform, and that's what we tend to use it for mostly.
From what I understand, Bitcoin is a volatile currency, as there's a limited amount of coins and the demand for them changes every day. So should your customers be worried about this?
I think that's a sort of perceived perception based upon sort of, you know, history of Bitcoin. So you only hear about it when there's sort of a lot of drama, you know, that's the sort of the hype of the media. And in 2013, there was this incident around an exchange called Mt. Gox. And that was early in Bitcoin's history, when 80% of all Bitcoins globally were traded on one single exchange. So the exchange was unfortunately run by a bit of a crook, and the exchange collapsed, which caused a huge news story, and hugely affected the price of Bitcoin, because there wasn't the exchanges, there wasn't the sort of infrastructure that allowed the liquidity in the market. So when that single exchange went down, the price of Bitcoin plummeted. But since then, you know, in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, there's many more exchanges that are out there. The ecosystem which supports Bitcoin is a lot more robust. So the price of Bitcoin is actually pretty stable, and it's generally been consistently going up for the last sort of 2 years.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.